The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today's Friday, 9th day of December, 2011. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is up 160 points. S&P is up 17. The comp is up 38. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. So, no garble so far. So
garble check.
Knocking on wood for you.
Turns out it was the Ferris wheel.
Oh my goodness, the Ferris wheel.
You know, I overlooked the world's largest amusement park, according to David.
Yes.
Yeah. The Ferris wheel. I thought it was the merry-go-round, but the guy goes, no, definitely the Ferris wheel. So, they shut it down. All right.
Shut it down.
Well, yeah. we can see your charts. People can hear my voice. Today's the day, guys. We're going to reveal the winner of the iPad 2. We're going to do that at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get the whole gang in here so we can do it. I've practiced the reveal just enough times that I'm assured of screwing it up. So, there you go. just say that out loud so everybody can hear it. But we're going to do it, and then it'll be posted on the website, and it's exciting and fun, and it really is the spirit of the season. To give is better than to receive, right?
Yes,
so
yeah.
I'm pumped up. We're giving away an iPad 2. So all of you visiting with us for the first time, thank you. We thank you for dropping by. Take your shoes off. Stay a while. Hang your coat up. We got coffee. There's Danish somewhere. probably in where would Danish be, in Finland?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. So yeah, we definitely have Danish. All right,
we'll go with that.
Now the markets. I've been with the cable guy all morning. Oh, dude, this is so excellent. Cable guy, not a company man. I think I texted that to you. He had a little different company name on the side of his truck. I was like, oh, you a subcontractor for Cox? He goes, yeah. Those guys don't know anything. Okay, this is my kind of guy. Very snarky. I was telling about the last two guys that came out, you know, who I thought were very nice and very knowledgeable. He was, you mean Barney and Fred? And I was like, no, it was actually Ben. And he goes, that was a joke. I was like, oh, Barney and Fred, I get it.
He's a comedian, too.
Yeah, he just started making...
All that, and he's a comedian.
Yeah, he was, like, snorting in an arrogant kind of a way as he looked at... they didn't even tag this stuff. Oh, my God. What were they thinking? And then they, and then I brought him upstairs to show him my super-duper modem that they sold me. And he just started laughing. I thought he was going to drop his tool belt. I'm like, what? That's brand new. He goes, yeah, like 20 years ago. I'm go, well, it was brand new in the box when they sold it to me. He goes, yeah. And so I have this thing now that looks like something out of the Starship Enterprise. I go, that's a cable modem? He goes, yeah, that's a real one. It's a man's cable modem. I said, oh, okay. So, but here's the really good part. Because he's not a company man, because he's a subcontractor, he can accept gratuities.
Nice.
And I got his phone number. Yeah. So, we'll see. I mean, the last guys came, did their magic, and we were good for 2 weeks. So, you know what? If it costs me a $20 bill every 2 weeks, I'll gladly pay it. On top of my outrageous bill that I already get every month. So, all right, you want to do the recap?
Or not? Yeah, sure. Let's.
Or is there something else you want to talk about?
Oh, we can jump right into the recap. I'm ready to go. All right. I'm ready to go. It is. Let me just look at the date here. Okay, there we go. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go. All right. In 3, 2, 1. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Friday, December 9th, 2011. We're going to go over the trades that we took in the live trading room this morning. We had an open house this morning. And in the open house, we had a large number of people came to see what was going on. Unfortunately, we didn't have a ton of trades this morning. We did have a couple of trades. We had a couple of break-even trades. Partners took a point. Some of the partners took a point on the trades on the ES that we had. It took a while for there to be any follow-through on the trades. But we had one trade on the YM that we took where our risk was just a little too small. It ended up going in the direction. We were right on the direction the whole time. But unfortunately, our risk was a little too small. So let's go over. Let's start with what we have. We ended up break even on the ES and minus six ticks on the YM. All right, we had three contracts on, and that's minus six ticks with three contracts, minus 18 ticks. All right, I'm going to go over, I'll go over the YM trades first, all right, since I'm over there, and that's where we had two trades that we took this morning. All right, our first trade was here. After we had a bullish cross of the BBC by the MA1, we took the pullback down here to the BBC. We went long right here. And we were looking for it to get up here, okay, to the MA1. Once it started to move in that direction, everything else was suggesting that we weren't going to have a long trade on our hands. But this is the setup, so I took it. And once I got some profit into the trade, I moved my stop up to break even plus a tick. It came back and got me at break even plus a tick. And then it moved up. Well, it's still going, I believe. Yeah, see, it's gone up 111 points from where I entered. But anyway, we won't belabor that point. The next trade that I took, we had a bearish cross right here. Coming out of a weekly trading zone, we had a bearish cross everything was looking really good here. I had 7 ticks risk on this. It entered me right here. I had 7 ticks risk. I needed about 11 ticks risk, 11 or 12 ticks risk for this trade to work out in my favor. You can see that the direction was right. Everything was right. It was just my risk was off a little bit. The thing dropped from my entry, which was right in here. I believe it was 1245 or 46. Now it dropped quickly, 25, 26 points, with that huge bar right there. Came crashing down on that bar, which would have gone right through our profit target. All right, those were the YM trades that we took this morning. We didn't have any other YM trades that we participated in. So I'm going to jump over here to the ES. All right, the ES 4 tick range on the right side of your chart. All right, we started the day out this morning. Price pulled away. We put in a double top up here, so we couldn't take the long trade right here. All right, we're looking for a higher swing. We got the higher swing in here, but then we're going right into a weekly trading zone, which I drew on here. This 41.42 is a weekly trading zone that I had mainly drawn. So then we're waiting for it to get off of there or get out of that area so we could take another trade. Okay. Right in here, it didn't pull all the way back down to the BBC, and I was doing something else at the time, so I didn't take that trade. It put in a double top, so there was nothing to do over here. Then we needed a new bubble down here, right on the chop bands, to be able to take another trade. So that new bubble came way over here. All right, we put in a lower swing. It came up. We entered here with an MIT order. We entered at 39.75. We stuck it out in that trade for a while. You know, some of the partners took a point on that. Once it had given us 5 ticks, they took a point. When it had given us 5 ticks, I moved my stop down to break even, and I had my stop at break even for a while until it came up over here and took me out of break even. Okay. I didn't have my stop at break even for a while. I had my stop at break even over here. It wasn't that long that I had it at break even. But anyway, it came up and took me out of break even. The market reversed. Now you see right here, I drew this trend line right after this bottom was put in right here. All right. I was still in the trade right here. And I was saying, you know what, that right there could be a change of direction. That right there. And that right there was the change of direction, guys. It moved up from there. All right. Once we got up above the weekly trading zone again, right here, we got up above the zone. And we had a fresh bubble over here and a pullback to the BBC. At the BBC right here, I went long. And once we got 5 or 6 ticks in it, I moved my stop up to break even. I didn't think it was going to come back down, but it did. It came back and got me a break even. And, you know, there were some partners that took a point there. So they got their 2 points today, 1 point at a time. The trade did continue running up very, very slowly. It was grinding its way up back and forth above the lines here. But it ground its way up to the weekly trading zone up above at 49.50, and it's now currently bouncing off of that area. All right, that's what we had on the 4 tick range. So we're break even on the ES. Okay. Now this is the 10K. We didn't take any trades off the 10K this morning, but I just want to show you things that were setting up. Like right here, we had a bullish cross with a pullback to the BBC. The cycle was not in favor of the trade, so we didn't take that. One thing that's worth noting is that we had a pierce of the envelope down here from the bottom with a green trend strength line. It was a blue envelope suggesting we're going to get a 5 to 6 point move up from this area. And we did. We got exactly 6 points up to 44 from 38. And then it pulled off it and it went back up. So it's, you know, it went all the way up to 49.25. So it went up about 11 points from that area. All right. Then we had a bearish cross with a pullback up to the BBC right here, but we weren't going to short, in this case, going down into the support. All right. Now, I'll show you where there were some trades in a minute here from the 2100 tick. All right. I didn't take any trades on the 2100 tick today, but Mike R., who is one of our partners, did take a couple of trades, I believe. He took this one right here. This is a 2100 tick chart. All right. And what he's looking at on this, what we're all looking at on this, I guess, is when we get a bullish cross of the BBC, just like over here and just like on the 10K, we get a bullish cross and a pullback. Okay. We get the bullish cross and the pullback on the somebody's about to get muted.
Sorry about that. I tell you I'd mess it up.
we'll get to that in a few minutes, Charles. You get the bullish cross on the BBC and a pullback. I mean, a bullish cross right here of the BBC and a pullback down to the BBC. This is the 2100 tick. You've also got a pierce to the envelope down here from the bottom. That suggested on the 2100, it's a 3 to 5 point move. It did do the 3 to 5 point move. Mike R. traded this right here. I wasn't going to take this going into the weekly trading zone. He did. He was looking for 5 points. His risk was 3 points, I think, on that one. And he got his 5 points to the tick right up here. All right, at 44 quarter. Then it rolled over, and it was coming back down. Now, right here, there was a short trade. All right, this was the same short trade that we were in. If you were just going for 2 points, it would have worked out just fine. Mike R. was going for 5 points. He ended up getting plus one tick. Once it got back up above the MA1 right here, and it was having trouble getting back down below, he had moved his stop to plus one tick, and I had moved my stop to break even. I got stopped out of break even. He got stopped out of plus one tick, and then everything reversed, and it took off too fast for anyone to get into it. All right, we went zone to zone right here without a pullback to the BBC. You see that? And that is where we are. That brings us current. All right. It is 12:16 right now, and I am done with the recording. Does anyone have any questions about any of that? We had a nice group of people in the live trading room this morning. I'm just looking through the list of questions here. Most of them are answered. All right, guys, I'm going to stop the recording right here. Right there. We are no longer recording. So anybody has any questions or just wants to
talk about anything? Mostly they just want to know about my internet connection.
That's pretty much it. It seems everyone is really concerned about your internet connection. And honestly, so far, so good.
Yeah. The guy bumped me to a DOCSIS 3. I was on a DOCSIS 2. I don't even know what that means. But he said, that's such a joke. 4 channels versus 8 channels, 2-minute rotation, simultaneous, He went on and on. And then once I extended a gratuity to him, he really felt the need to explain himself. And he kind of lost his snarkiness, I don't know. We'll see. I just hope it works. It looks so industrial strength, I'm going to say that. The other one was this little slim black thing, but this, it's like a transformer or something. It looks like, you go out in the wood and damage trees with this thing. I don't know. Anyway.
Did he go for the cookie or the brownie? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, a little both.
How do you get the countdown on top of the 2100 tick chart? You go here, like this, click on that. Up at the top, choose current profile. The fourth section down says countdown timer. 1, 2, 3, 4. The fourth one down says countdown timer. Set show timer to on. Okay. If show timer is on, then you are good to go. It'll show contracts for volume. It'll show ticks for tick charts. It'll show time for minute charts. Okay.
You might point out, Mike, if you haven't already, and maybe you did, that the low last night on Globex, the weekly trading zone held that at 28.29. And then when Europe
right
opened,
here,
we rallied all the way up to the weekly zone at 49.50.
We're getting there. Here it was, 49.50, the zone up above.
We then did a pullback to the 41.42. Right there. On an hourly chart, it looked. I'm not saying you need to change to an hourly. I'm just pointing out that on an hourly, that pullback to the 41.42, there's a little bit of overlap, but that red candle, man, it stops there and then boom, pops it right back up to 49.50, all in the next hourly candle.
Right in here.
Yeah, right there. Shoot you right back up.
Yep.
And so now, the question is, are we going to 57, 58? We already did 49, 50.
Yeah, it seems like it's got... It seems like it's got some push to it here, but you know, on an hourly, the cycle's in favor of moving long. The DMT's crossing up in cycle. I mean, in favor of the long trade. And this is on the hourly chart. We had the transition bar in here, which also suggested we're going to move up. So, just a quick glimpse at it from from a Fib perspective shows this is it right about at a 62% retracement. Something like that, between 60 and 70%, I would say. Just eyeballing it. I mean, I can actually insert the Fib lines on there. Oops.
Probably the.
I gotta see the top of that bar.
While you do that, probably the most fascinating thing in the world of finance today is the news that George Soros. It came out last night. The very debt that put MF Global out of business. Soros bought it for $2 billion. Have you seen that headline?
I saw one of our partners type that in this morning, but I didn't.
The European bonds, the whole thing that took down MF Global, Soros bought it up for $2 billion.
Well, that was very kind of him.
Now, that guy has a habit of being right sometimes.
It's a habit of being right sometimes. I love it. Text option. I want to show the text options here. Oops, not just the current value, but you see it retraced exactly to this level right here, which I think is 50%.
Jeff typed in, "Yeah, George outbid me." Okay, fair enough. Well, at least you were in there. You had your hat in the ring, man. You know.
Yeah. My bid was at $50.
All I had was some stale brownies.
The cable guy got them.
They wouldn't accept my bid.
yeah, that's a 50% retracement right there. The red line, I think, is 50%. I'm pretty sure.
Not a yellow. Well.
Oh, the yellow line is
50%. 38, 50, 62,
All right. Yeah. Right. What is the red line?
Depends on how you.
Yeah, the red line is 61.8. Yeah. Level 5. Yeah, 61.8. That's what I said. 62% is what I said. It's probably a 62% retracement. It was to the, on the hourly, it was a 62% retracement to the tick, just about, from this big move down. So, and it's at a zone. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it'll do here. Just
hey, Michael, since you have
saying.
A screen at the moment.
Yes.
Because in a few minutes here, I'm going to take the screen and I'm going to attempt to do this, to do the deal. Mm-hmm. But if you would bring up the website. Oh, by the way, anybody who's out in radio land, on the website, under the radio tower, there's two places to click. One to just listen, one to listen and watch. If you click the one that says click here, then
like
you'll
that.
Be able to see the charts. You got to go through a little registration process once per week, and then you're good for the whole week. You're able to see the charts as we talk about them. You're also able to interact and type in questions, comments, whatever it might be. So we do invite you to join us for the broadcast, to actually come in to the room. You don't have to. If you prefer to just listen to the audio because you're busy doing other stuff, we understand. But I just want you to know that option is available, okay? Now, Michael, if you would, scroll up just a little bit there in that window.
Yes.
Click on that iPad 2 giveaway.
The iPad 2 giveaway.
You
this one right here. All right.
There you go.
There we go.
All right.
Are you ready?
Well,
you want to
I got to milk it a little bit. I mean, because everybody goes, oh, yeah, they're really going to give away an iPad. Well, we really are. We've been telling you that now when did we launch this thing? October 11th? Is that when we launched it?
Yes, October 10th.
October 10th. Okay. And we did just as we said, up through. You got a brief twang sound, Keith?
Yeah, that's usually what happens before the garble starts. But there was just one. It went away.
That's my southern upbringing, the twang.
The twang. Yeah. I know exactly what he's talking about, though.
Well, you know what? You guys get that. You guys get that from time to time, but it's very brief. And like David does it sometimes, it'll go, I don't know if it's gas nebula, but it gets a little wonky. And you do, too, on occasion.
Oh, sure. Sure. Sticks and stones will break my bones. Gas nebula. Yeah, that was... No, but usually when you get it, though, it just continues. And it's good that it hasn't. So that's great. That is great. That's progress. I'm knocking on wood for you.
All right. Okay. All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pause for station identification. I'm going to bring David Williams onto the radio program. I'm going to invite Bert and or Leslie to join us if they're not too busy answering phones and doing, you know, important things. Because I'd like for everybody to be here for the reveal. That sweepstakes speak for letting you know who won the iPad 2. All right? I'm doing my homework. All right, this is going to require that I put on my glasses. All right.
Garble.
Seriously?
Yeah, it just happened again.
Yep.
Okay.
I guess
put on your glasses.
I guess the guy can't fix it. I'm going to call him. He says I'll come right back out if you have problems. So I guess I'll.
Honestly, the guy, they just have to listen to the show. Maybe they can figure something out by listening to it. You know, maybe it'll tell them something. I don't know. I know that's not my thing, but they have to listen live once David gets on, particularly. All right, but anyway, I think you're good right now, so let's do the station identification. And
you're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, I'm excited to see if I won the darn iPad.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Apparently you didn't.
I think there's fine print in there that says anybody but David Williams.
Oh, man. I've had so many chances at things in life, and they always exclude me.
Sorry.
Gosh.
I clearly stated that you couldn't be an employee of Daniel's Trading or...
Is that Dwayne talking? What is that?
That is Dwayne talking.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it, you bad boy.
All right.
There. Here he comes. All right.
Really? Oh, I can't wait to call this guy and tell him to bring my $20 back.
Yeah. Mm. The guy probably did a good job. It's just, you know... Whatever.
Tell me you want your brownie back, too.
Well, now, Michael, he did say that he heard you sometimes get that. I've never heard that happen to you.
It happened to
me. And I've never heard it happen to you either.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just keep, well, that's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Yep. Yeah, and we haven't discussed this ahead of time.
Right. No, we haven't. We're agreeing to it now, though.
Yes, it's set in stone now.
It's set in stone. No, I've never heard it happen on your end, only on Dwayne's end for whatever reason. So I don't know what that is.
You guys are making stuff up now.
What's that?
I said you guys are just making stuff up now. All right, let's do this thing. Let me get this guy back out here and tell him, dude, you're not quite as clever as you thought you were.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take the screen.
All right, you're going to take the screen.
Of course I am.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay.
That's nice.
That is very nice. Okay.
That is very nice.
Have a winner.
And that is the winner. That is the winner. Unfortunately, he is not here right now.
Is he in
now.
The audience? Oh, you got to be present to win. That was in the rules. No. That's
yep,
not
it's in the rules. Next one.
No, I like the other thing where he calls the number and he has to pay a $200 shipping and other fee to receive it or whatever. You know, it's always something. No, this is a great guy. I know Octavio. And, you know, we've spoken to him, and he couldn't happen to a nicer guy. This is a really good guy.
This video will be posted on the website, and that is Bert and Leslie's number because they answer their phone, and Michael and I often don't. So call that number, Octavio, when you get the good news, wherever you are, and give them your shipping address so that we can get it in the mail to you so that you absolutely, positively, even with the holiday mail, have it before Christmas. So
that is very nice.
Yes.
So we feel nice. I feel good for him.
Yeah, awesome. That's good.
Love to give. It's just it's a great feeling. It's a great thing. And, you know, now here's what's really fascinating. Someone in the chat room just asked me if... this was Pismo Beach. Guess where this is?
That looks a little almost like Lake Mead, but it's probably one of your lakes nearby there.
It's Pismo Beach.
Is it really Pismo Beach?
I paid a guy to go. Well, I don't want... Yeah, that takes away from it. But anyway, that's Pismo Beach, yeah.
That's really nice.
All right, we'll go back to my other screen now.
No, I like that. I like the note in the bottle, and you unwrap it, and there you are.
Yes.
You did good, Dwayne.
All right, and there you are, David.
There I am.
And Bert.
And wherever Dwayne. I go, there I am.
Yes. All right. And now we're home. Back to the markets.
Now.
All right. Back to them markets. All right.
Well,
what do you want to talk
first
about?
Of all, good morning to everybody. That's very nice. I'm really happy to see, you know, everybody who registered. I don't know how many did, but what a nice surprise. What a nice little pleasant thing to get an iPad, you know. Turns out, you know, he opens his little mail up, and it's just this little, it's like one of those things you put over your eye, you know, like when to, it's just like, wait a minute.
Did we say iPad? We meant eye patch.
No, it's just like a little pad that goes over your eye. The guy's like, ah, oh, geez. What were you going to say, Michael?
Oh, no, that was it.
Oh, okay. Episode. What's that?
That's a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, exactly. I want an iPad. Anyway, good morning, Bert. Thank you for joining us.
I just wanted to share that little that little thing. And I'll go back now.
No, yeah.
Bert's going back under his rock.
Yeah.
I'm back here listening to Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
Come on, Dwayne. Right.
Dwayne, are you there? Do some Peter Frampton for us. Say, well, do you love me like I do, or some whatever that line is.
Oh, that's it. Come on, Dwayne. Do it.
You guys are so funny.
All right. Somebody's going to do it for us.
Somebody's going to do it, yeah.
Open mic.
The device that makes that sound when Peter Frampton would do that was a device that you played your guitar, the amplified signal went from your amplifier into this device, and the device had a tube that ran to your mouth, and that tube was the speaker. So you were getting that compressed guitar sound blown into your mouth, and then he would shape the sound of his guitar standing up to a microphone. So what you were hearing was his guitar played loud into his mouth, and then he would shape the words. Here he comes. Dwayne's going to play it for us. And that can blow your dentures out, that sound, in your mouth.
All right, rock out.
There you go. That's very good, Dwayne. Yep. You're on your game today.
Yeah. Thanks.
By the way, I asked my tech about your problem to see what his thoughts on it were. Mm-hmm. And putting internet aside, mm-hmm. it is one of the possible problems. I doubt it in your case, but it could be also related to your computer, he said. So he said that a test between your computer and your router would be in order, and you can talk to him, actually, if you want, after the show and see what he says, because maybe there's some issue there. Who knows? I know you have a quad-core, you know, high-speed computer and all that, or something like that.
Yeah,
so I do,
but you know what?
It's doubtful.
There could be. It's not the newest computer, but it's a solid, sturdy workhorse with plenty of capacity. I mean, we've been using mm-hmm. it to broadcast. Something went awry, and it didn't happen. You know. I almost want to think there's something in the room that suddenly I put something somewhere, did something, plugged something in, and suddenly it created interference. Because mm-hmm. this guy had about 9 different reasons why. Oh, this isn't right. That's not right. I'm going to fix this. This amplifier's got to go. Boom, 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 boom. Now let's go do a packet loss test. Mm-hmm. Zero packet loss. 100%. And so, you know, mm-hmm. anyway, he's in my pocket now for 10 days, so I'll have him out here every single day for the next 10 days. And then that'll give me enough time to order the slow T1, I guess.
The slow T1, yeah.
It's stable.
Even a slow T1 will work better than what you have right now. And it's really, it's not so slow. A lot of people have done a lot of business over T1s. So that's, you know, if that's something you're going to go to, I would give that a shot, definitely, before I decided that it was too slow. So we'll see, and it's, you know, the stability of it and all that. But if you want, Johnny would be more than happy to talk to you after the program and just maybe make a couple of suggestions. I mean, we've been through this so many times. We, you know, it's very, very frustrating. And
it
we
is.
Went through the same thing. We've done it a bunch of times. We had the techs out 10 times, 20 times. You know, they would replace modems. They would adjust this and do that. And for some reason, when they would come out, it always worked.
I know.
That's, you know, what is that? You know, you can't time anything better than that. You know, it's just one of those things. And but you know, in the end, it's just, it ends up being, you know, and I don't know exactly how your system is set up and works, but it, you know, we've been through this so many times on our end, and with the same experiences that you've had. I mean, it's not like we jumped right to going to a different level, but. Doesn't seem to matter what they do. They just—it's part. It's inherent in their system to have that for some reason. So, we'll let you go on that. But anyway, I'm happy for Octavio. I almost want to call him up myself and tell him.
Feel free to.
Hey, Octavio. Turns out I won the iPad, and I'm willing to split it with you. What do you think? Something like that. Perfect.
Let's see. I could Skype call him, I suppose.
You could get him on the phone right on the radio, and we could listen to his excitement.
I could. I don't
can
have
patch
Skype.
That in?
I don't have Skype installed on that computer, though. Michael, okay. You got Skype installed on your computer?
Let me look. I'm not
if
sure
you
I have
do,
it on
I'll
this one.
I'll message you his phone number.
I usually Skype from my other computer that I have right here. No, I don't have it. I don't have it on this one.
Bert? Oh, Bert could do it with a conference. Bert, you're on the phone anyway, right?
Yeah, but don't tell anyone.
Okay,
so... Let me get him on the horn.
Can you?
Yeah.
Do you have his number,
or do
you need me to give it to you?
Give me the number that you have, because I think he's got 3 or 4.
Wow. Let me find it.
Leslie, I'm going to call Octavio. What do I have to do? Just put the... And I'm going to conference him into the program.
Do your phone magic there, Leslie. Okay, Bert, coming over to you in the chat box.
I think he's in
Texas.
Will
be the phone number. Well, not according to this phone number, but you know what? According... You can't tell where people are by their area code anymore.
I can tell where he is by his address.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the phone number that I have is on the
It's just like it'd be Vonage or something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Bert, there's the number.
Okay. All right, 1 second.
Be interesting to see if he gave us one of those fishy phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like David's dial-a-joke line.
All right.
Well, we can't patch him in, but I could call him and you could hear him listen to my side of the conversation.
Well, Bert can actually conference call him.
No, that's good.
Leslie just... knows how to do all that stuff. She's very good with that.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Of course, he's not going to answer when he sees his bird calling.
Yeah, probably. A broker. Well, I was
him again.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead and let it go to the message.
Yeah.
If it will.
Sure. All right, if a machine picks up, Dwayne, you take the con.
Bert, you can tell him you're from MF Global and he's won 60% of his funds back.
Your party is not answering. Please try your call later. We're sorry, but your call will now be disconnected.
Okay, I'm going to try him on the number that I have, okay? I'm going to try him on the number that I have, and I'll have it on the speakerphone here, so because this is important. I want Octavio to know right now.
Your party is not answering.
Okay, you can hang that up, Bert.
We're sorry, but your call will now be disconnected.
He doesn't know how to hang up.
Okay, here we go. I hope you can hear the speaker a little bit here. Can you hear that ringing?
Yeah, we can hear the ring.
Octavio.
Are you calling me?
Yes.
This is David Williams from PageTrader. How are you?
Hello, David. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You know, the only thing I don't have in my life I wish I had is like a little, like an iPad. If I had an iPad, I would be so much happier. But that's why I'm calling, because you won an iPad on CFRN. I am serious. You won the iPad.
I can't believe it.
You did. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, very true.
I told people on the radio it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Oh. I couldn't log into the radio today because I had some other stuff to do.
No, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. You don't lose it if you're not logged into the radio station. So,
okay.
No, you get it. And Dwayne had a really nice presentation where there was a bottle on the beach and it had a note in it. And they pulled the note out and they laid the note out on the sand. And it said that Octavio had won this. So, anyway, we were trying to reach you. And our last resort was to simply call you on the phone. And I just wanted to let you know, I'm just happy for you, and it's going to be really cool. Dwayne's going to send it so it gets there before Christmas. And congratulations. You won it.
Yeah, congratulations, Octavio.
Just I know.
Very,
now,
very, very excited. Thank you.
One other thing, Octavio. You're being broadcast on the radio right now. So
no way.
Everything you're saying is being listened to by thousands of listeners. So why don't you say to Dwayne and Michael, thank you very much, because I always wanted an iPad.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, David.
You...
I always wanted an iPad. Now I'm going to be able to pray from it.
And that is beautiful. Well, listen, I'm glad we reached you, and it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. And you can call Dwayne and get the details for it. And
Octavio? Octavio, I
wanted to say congratulations again.
Email me.
Okay, I'll talk.
Octavio, don't hang up.
Have a great show. I appreciate it.
Don't hang up.
Okay, bye-bye.
Are you there? Octavio.
Yeah. He can't hear you.
Oh, he can't hear me.
Yeah, he can't hear you. That was a speaker. That was a speaker. I just called him on the number that we had, and that was a speaker.
Do you have his address, David? Do you have his address?
I do.
Well, he'll email me. I'll email him and get it. Because I wanted to have him. I wanted him to go. This is Octavio. You're listening to CFRN. And I just want an iPad.
Now you're going to get some advertising out of it.
Yeah, I got to. Oh yeah, he's going to have to do videos. He's going to have to do the opening of malls and a lot of. You know, he's a celebrity
right.
Now. He's somebody.
Yeah.
We're going to work this thing. All right.
We're going to work this thing.
All right. I recorded all that, by the way.
Well, good.
Good job.
You're on top of your game, too, today, Michael.
I am going to stop the recording right now.
I have this little podcast thing going. Oh, did you?
You have the podcast, too.
You did the video?
That's right.
You recorded the video?
Yep, I recorded the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Because I have the video, and I'll be able to put it on the website, but... If you recorded it with the sound and all of us goofing around, that might be good. That might be better than good.
Well, I just stopped the recording, so I'll check it out when it's...
Yeah, upload it to
I'll
the
check
folder.
It out a little later.
Upload it to the folder and let me have a gander. All right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. I'll do that right now.
All right. Well, you know what? I wish we could do that every day, but we can't. But we'll do it again.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. It's nice to... It is. It's wonderful to see somebody win something and just get it, and it's Christmas time and all that stuff.
He's still pinching himself.
That's right.
He answers the phone when David calls.
Yeah, he doesn't answer the phone when Bert calls.
Yeah, what's up with that? Well, it was a margin call, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He's managing his life like we have to manage ours. You know, no, I don't answer this one, but I do answer this call.
Right.
I think that's funny, MF Global calling and telling people they've won 60% of their deposited funds, their segregated funds back.
So,
that is
Bert,
really funny.
What do you think about George Soros buying the debt that put MF out of business? Soros steps in and buys it for $2 billion. Now, is that going to help some people get made whole?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm not sure.
Did you see that headline this morning, David?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
All right. Fair enough.
I didn't see it, actually.
$2 billion he paid for the European bond debt.
Yeah, that doesn't mean the people at the brokerage are going to get their money back. He bought that from a second party.
Yeah, I didn't say that it would. I was asking Bert if it would in any way help out the people that lost their money.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it does, then God bless them.
Yeah.
That gets people whole. I don't care how they want to twist it and turn it.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how that turns out and how 1.2 or 1.3 or more billion dollars can be unaccounted for at a brokerage who has a very sophisticated billing and accounting system. And I mean, the software that runs this stuff is enormously complex, and that money just didn't walk away.
Cargo pants.
So, what's that?
Cargo pants.
Cargo pants?
Oh, yeah. Haven't you ever wore cargo pants? You lose stuff in those big old baggy pockets.
Yeah. No, that's a real possibility, Dwayne.
All right. Dwayne, I put that thing out there in the file.
Okay, thank you.
Not on YouTube. I didn't put it on YouTube. I put it, if you go out to the FileZilla spot, I put it out there. I can put it out on YouTube if you want. It's up to you.
Okay. We have a FileZilla thing?
You don't know about that?
Dude, we got so much stuff. I'm just... Hey, Bert.
Okay, I'll put it out on YouTube, too.
Hey, Bert, can you tell Leslie that we uploaded the workshop video?
Hey, Dwayne, uploaded the workshop video. Over.
Go ahead, call.
She's on it, Captain.
All right.
What about
all right.
Markets?
Nah. Don't spoil the fun. Yeah, David, what do you got? What's going on? What's cooking, baby?
Well, let's see. We had the big news, which maybe Bert can explain as we're talking here. Bert, what exactly happened in Europe, or do you know? Because I'm not 100% clear on it.
All right, hold on. Let's get Leslie on the hook. She's got to play a role here, too. But she does. She's
okay.
Our...
Great.
One second.
Oh, goodness. Dwayne, are you there?
I am, Leslie.
Hi.
How are you?
good. I wasn't quite so prepared for this as far as what's going on. I've been following this thing, and I'm a little... We went through so many different phases of this debt consolidation and the bodies that are set up to control the debt crisis in the Eurozone. Is that what you're asking about, the Eurozone and the
yes.
event?
Yes, we were, Leslie, this is David, we were asking what occurred today that was the news, quote-unquote, about that.
Oh, okay. Good.
Know.
Okay. They had come up with this, what did I call it in the report last night? It is a plan. However, it's basically to monitor the debt of each country and to have stringent austerity measures in place so that they do not present this problem. But they have a whole open side to it, because what happened is we were all expecting the ECB, the European Central Bank, to come in and provide funding for the IMF to support the EFSF to continue to manage the debt through the use of bonds and loans and things like that to the individual countries. But again, with strict adherence to the austerity measures derived for each country. What happened was, Mario Draghi, the president of the ECB, came in and basically last evening said that there would be no loans to the IMF because it breaks the EU. Now, they had been all week in conference, Merkel and Sarkozy, trying to amend the EU treaty. However, there are 27 members to the European Union, whereby they would have to vote on that in order to pass it. And so basically it was impossible to get done by today. So end result is we have one side in place in terms of the austerity measures they adopted and all the plans that they have in place. But on the other side of it, they have to come up with $153 billion just to be current on the debt situation in terms of managing it through funding. And so they're going back to the private sector who lost their money on the Greek bonds, remember? Mm-hmm. They were basically told that they couldn't, you know, were too bad to do. Well, now they're coming back to this private sector trying to get back into the bond market by saying that, oh, we're adopting certain regulations so that you will never have to lose money again in this particular avenue. So it's much more lengthy than that in the individual rules that they have for each thing. But I mean, that's kind of the summation of it. And furthermore, they were unhappy with the EFSF. And remember, Standard & Poor's has most recently stated that they would, in fact, they would downgrade the whole EU, the whole European Union. That was last night. And so basically they're, you know, they had to come up with something, so they just stuck with the side of controlling the debt, you know, in terms of management, but not funding and bailing out anyone. And so with that, they have a situation where they wanted to go ahead and what was that? My thought in that they were trying to get it. Oh, yeah. So the ESF was going to be a temporary type of avenue because that was also on the block for a potential downfall. So then they revived the European Stability Mechanism, which they first started in 2008. They just resurrected it in the hopes of getting that working out. So it's been kind of a mess.
Yeah, that's a good explanation.
I'm sorry. I get carried away a little.
No, you're not being carried away. That's exactly what I wanted to know. Merkel and Sarkozy to me sounds like something you have removed at a doctor's office, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, German Chancellor Merkel has been very, very diligent about working on a plan. However, she herself has prohibited part of Sarkozy's, you know, what he wanted to transpire. She had put the kibosh on certain aspects of it along the way. So, and French President Sarkozy, he has probably been more diligent about getting things done than just about anybody in the Eurozone. Now, Mario Draghi, remember, he was just put in place to succeed Trichet, and Trichet was pretty proactive, and he was very good. Now, I'll remind you also that Draghi had been with the World Bank. He had retained an office there, and he had also been a vice chairman, I believe, at Goldman Sachs, another aspect to bear in mind.
Yeah. It's funny to me because, not funny, but, you know, when countries that are based on entitlement spending and socialistic programs, this has finally got to the point where even they are starting to say, hey, listen, you know, we might have to consider cutting back on spending.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the Antichrist to them, making that statement. But they are finally getting to the point where it's actually becoming somewhat foggy, less foggy, a little clearer for them. We might have to cut back on spending. Okay, all right. So the words, I hear the words, I'm not sure I quite understand it, but yes, maybe that's something we have to do. That's what they're struggling with right now, is just understanding that those words come out of their own mouths, because that's all they've been doing for people to understand what it takes to get upside down $156 billion to have spent more than you take in is like the equivalent of each of us spending tens of millions of dollars more than we have in income every year for the last, like, 20 years. That's mm-hmm. what that's like. So,
right.
And now it's like, well, you'll have to stop spending. It's like, oh, yeah, you know. What is it with these people? Is it a genetic thing where if you're on the far left, you just can't understand that spending has to match the income? I don't understand where we lost that. And how come there's no rules in government that say you have to live within your means? How come we have to, but they don't have to? If we don't do it, we go to jail. If they don't live in their means, everybody gets a raise until, of course, the whole thing comes crashing down.
Right. But if you, I think, David, it's just my opinion, because I don't have access to the government books of each country, and I certainly, but I think if you were to assess the, just within the United States, if you were to, you know, they vote on, I mean, basically over in Greece, they're talking about cutting back on pensions, on workers' salaries, on, you know, laying off people, on,
right.
you know, all kinds of things. And to raise the money through tax hikes, they had to attach the taxes to the electric bills of those people mm-hmm. over Greece in order to get payment, so they'd get their power shut off if, in fact, they don't pay their taxes. So much, much different. But I wanted to remind you also, though, if we were to look at our country and the expenditures within our government, we have so many programs in place that are allocated so many dollars to so many individuals that are hidden that the average person wouldn't
right.
even know about.
Right.
And these they may be abused. And also I wanted to remind people also that if you were to look at the pensions and all of the programs to guard the presidents, ex-presidents, the pensions that they receive, each Congress member, each person in government, what they actually walk away from after their term, when they're no longer working for the duration of their life, that's a huge amount of money.
Oh, it's so incredible.
So, I mean, do they really, should they be getting that kind of a pension? Should they, you know, they're only in office for 4 years of their life. So does
right.
that give them a la carte anything they want in their, for the rest of their life? You know, it's really, if you take a look at it, you know, it's maybe perhaps a situation where for the very poor, maybe there are programs that are getting a little bit too, you know, because a poor person can get a cell phone, can get food stamps, can get, you know, in this country, can
yeah.
get so many different things through so many programs. You can get a free car, you can get, you know, I mean, if you really were a good poor person that did not want to work but instead put your efforts to seeking money, you could probably live very well if you do all the
well. Let me tell you something. Not only can you, there have been whole books written on how you can live your entire life off of government programs, because there are so many government programs. Government programs that none of us have even heard of. I mean, food stamps,
exactly.
we've heard of. But the stuff that you haven't heard of goes into the thousands of government programs. There's whole books written about it. There used to be a guy on TV that advertised a book about all the government programs that you could just go. I mean, it was so rampant that here's a guy who's advertising his book on TV, selling it for $50, that you can go get this book and figure out, have all the government programs to live off of, et cetera. Another point you made, Leslie, which is very, very powerful, which is that for an ordinary citizen to have a pension, he has to work for 30 years for the mm-hmm. county, 25 years for the state, or whatever it is. It's a long time. It's effectively a life sentence. When somebody gets sentenced to life in prison, that usually means 30 years. That's what a life sentence actually means, unless it's life without parole, but 30 years is a life sentence. You have to work that long in order then to collect your pension, where government officials work for 4 years and have a pension for the rest of their lives. Now think about that. Is that fair? Is that, I mean, where's the fair share concept from the Democrats on that one? They're always talking about the fair share, and every new program they come out with, we're going to tax the rich to pay for this, we're going to tax the rich to pay for that. But the fact is that all of us are paying for every one of these bloody people pensions, and they're only working for 4 years. When we have to work for 30 years to get a pension, is that a fair share deal? No. But that's a really powerful point, that if they work for 4 years, I could see giving them a four-year pension or something, maybe something like that, but to have the rest of your life having a pension seems a little bit excessive. But it isn't excessive in the world of government, because they're not spending their money. They're spending money they don't even earn. They're spending our money, the money that we earn. That's why I think there's something wrong with the whole premise that everybody sends their money to this one central place, because it gets abused. It's just the nature of it. It's flowing in at incredible rates, and it just gets spent and wasted at incredible rates. But that's a good point, the pension thing. Because we all have parents that have lived on pensions. You know, your mom lives longer than your dad in many cases, and the dad had a pension and the mom continues to get it. That happened in my case. Mm-hmm. Those pensions are expensive, and somebody had to work 30 years to get that. But if you put on a suit and tie and lie to people, you know, every day on TV, you know, you can do it in 4 years.
Well, what's also tricky about this is, you know, to be in the good side of those that count in this country. Look at the case of our government, Blagojevich, and excuse me if I mispronounce this.
Blagojevich, yeah.
Yeah. 14 years he gets for, you know, he was going to sell us a seat or
Senate
whatever.
Senate seat, right. He was,
yeah, Senate seat, and yeah, you've seen the trial and everything. But basically, you know, this is a guy that walked into office, and to tell you the truth, he never seemed very sophisticated to me. He always seemed like the little guy that couldn't figure things out and was just trying to fit in. And so basically I looked at him and I thought, you know, a lot of government people may not know where to draw the line, because for people that hold these powerful positions, there are, you know, they get so much money for this. They're, you know, everything is free, and they get little extra deposits of money towards their campaigns, and they're constantly, you know, it's a favor for a favor here and there. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, they might get very confused in drawing those lines, and maybe it's just certain people that get called on the carpet about it because they're out of favor with certain powerful other people, you know?
Right.
So I think that, you know, it's good that they're making him an example. However, how many of those people out there are much bigger than this particular governor that in everyday business is, you know, they're doing a favor for a favor here and there, and they're garnishing tons of money, you know?
Well, the whole system is based on that, the favor for favor and all that. You know, he just called it like it was a little too openly and, you know, got nailed on it, and it should be illegal to sell a Senate seat, in my opinion. But I agree with you that the whole business of government is the business of swapping favors. I mean, to be the president of the United States, you promised a group of people certain things that were going to happen. And if you don't fulfill those promises, then they might not vote you back in, or they may, who knows what how all that plays out. But it's a favor-based system, there's no question. And the mere fact that there's money involved in politics means that it's corrupt, period.
Yeah. This isn't to Barbara out there. Barb, I'm not ragging on the Democrats in particular. Believe me, for years, I know that President Bush had many oil friends, and I am sure that many of the programs that he was pro was, you know, constantly pro oil friends. And I know, believe me, I was speaking in terms of total government and the economies as a whole, when you break it down, that in fact these people are rioting in the streets in Greece, and they're having squeezes, you know, oftentimes hardworking people have squeezes, you know, where they can hardly meet their living expenses, although they work hard and everything, whereas people sometimes in favored positions will have excess money available for doing short-term types of projects or in fact, you know, very lucrative positioning that maybe, I don't know, maybe they do not deserve. That's all.
Right. No, and this has this is how the powerful, this is how the system works. The people at the top, and it's so ironic to see the government complaining about the rich and stuff when the government gets more benefits than any of these people, because they're not even really working for the money like the rich worked for their money, or the rich, you know, built businesses or whatever, or empires. The government, you're voted in there, and suddenly you're in power, and you manipulate things to stay in power, etc. So it's a crazy world we live in, but America has been, and hopefully will continue to be a great country because of self-reliance, self-responsibility, limited government, people, you know, you cannot run a country as great as America on the premise of handouts. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. There are people who have needs. They should be met. The government should help people who have true needs, but it's just as an example, paying people to not work. Yes, I agree that they need to be helped, but if you're going to take government money to go looking for a job, then there should be either a few hours a week of job training or something that you have to do to match that, other than just simply receive a check every week. because it's human nature. And that's the problem with socialistic societies, is that they don't produce a whole lot if you go check the history books. What did Russia produce? That was a huge socialistic communistic society. What did they produce other than the space program over a whole long period of time? Look at what America has produced. You know, it hurts people's feelings sometimes to be put in a position where they have to have some self-reliance, but that's what brings people to their highest and best level, not a system based upon, not a pro-poverty outlook on life, where that is that if you're poor, we're just going to, or not even poor, if we're just going to take care of a whole bunch of entitlement programs for people that just get people feeding off it, so much so that there's books sold on TV with all the government programs encouraging people to just take advantage of the government. Whatever that dollar amount is, to that amount, that lessens the greatness of America, with the exception of people who are in actual need of this. Yes, of course, everybody is compassionate. Nobody wants to see somebody suffering. But the government has set it up in such a way where there's just so much waste and so much fraud and so much abuse. I don't know what the percentages are, but it's huge. And if we could cut that back and somehow get it through the mind of this particular administration that there's something wrong with spending more than you take in, that's the they don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to them. And yet in their own personal lives, it's like Rosie O'Donnell, you know, with this is a good example of how the far left thinks. She doesn't want you to own a gun. She doesn't want you to have a gun in your house in case a burglar or robber comes in. She's against that. But Rosie O'Donnell owns all kinds of guns. She's armed to the teeth.
Well, that's the thing of it. You know, on we have a big scale here in the U.S. I mean, we go to real deep poverty all the way to the excessive, eccentric money. You cannot believe. So just to balance things out, we do have people with so much money in this country. I don't know how it was derived. In many cases, they may have inherited some. They may have built it. You know, who knows? But what I want to just say is that we have so many people on the upper scale that have their monies offshore that do not pay taxes on it, that I also want to bring that into life, that I feel
sure.
that
there's plenty of that.
Wrong.
Listen, America is the most giving country. We give $400 billion a year in donations, this country,
mm-hmm.
more than any other country probably combined, America. So in spite of whatever crimes are being committed, and there's people out there looking for those people who are defrauding the IRS on taxes or, you know, doing whatever, and maybe they'll get away with it. That's fair enough. But this is a very giving and loving country. This country gives an enormous amount in charity, and those charities use that money hopefully wisely because Americans are that way. And I'm not discounting what you say, that there's the bad side of it as well. But the simple fact is that the government needs to spend less money on worthless, meaningless programs that are just appeasing people and really taking away from the greatness of America. Because, listen, there's people completely hobbled up in wheelchairs that write books, do theses, do whatever they can do. They're working their butts off in their own way. And those people have the gift of self-motivation, etc. But if you're going to pay people and not require anything from them, they're going to sit around year after year collecting unemployment. I know it's hard to get a job out there, but there should be something that these people have to do for that money, as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to just keep extending it year after year after year, they need to have job training. They need to have something, because it gets very easy to sit there and do nothing. And the job market did increase. We just had 278 or whatever it was, 1,000 jobs in added last month or something, and maybe things are starting to turn. I'm for those people getting the money. I just think at this point, for this second round, you need to step up a little bit as well. So one great way to get voted into office is just promise everybody free things. That's
well.
One good way. And then when you get a whole bunch of those people taking those free things, guess who they're going to vote for? The person giving those free things to them.
Well, maybe, yeah, that's true to a certain degree. But also, I just want to remind everybody that part of this debt crisis in Europe, if we all really take a hard look, over the years, the U.S. has been such a generous and premier country that has virtually come in and bailed out other countries. And because of the downgrade here and the problems that we've had here, that is partly contributing to the Eurozone problem as well, because we're no longer out there bailing them out. You know, we're supportive, yeah. But Geithner certainly isn't giving up anything there. You know, so.
Yeah, we don't have anything left to give up, Leslie. We're spending more money than we take in every year. So, you know, more money than the entire gross national product. Every dollar that's spent in the entire country on every product and service, our debt is larger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah.
But well, you gave us a wonderful update here. No, go ahead, please.
Oh, I didn't want to take up any more time. I get carried away, you know.
I know, but you have a lot of great facts, and I'm really happy to have you tell us all that. I mean, I had no idea of all the details that you just went over. So.
Oh, there's so much more. I really just brushed over it, to tell you the truth. It's been a play-by-play, you know.
You did a nice brushing.
Okay.
That was very
well,
nice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. Okay.
Thank you, Leslie. Bye-bye, guys.
Boy, now she has her facts.
She does. Yeah, she's good.
She's amazing.
Yeah, you should see her when she does her research. She's one of those guys or women or I gotta be careful here.
Right.
You know, she's got a stack of paper in front of her and she's sifting through it. She's got her glasses on. She's writing the reports. You know, why I'm a chart guy.
Yeah, because
I'm a chart guy.
I can't follow all that stuff. It's much easier to look at a chart.
Yeah. So, that's Leslie Burton.
That's Leslie Burton. There she is. Okay, so, Dwayne, did you want to add anything to that?
No.
How many people did we upset?
Plenty. They'll be back on tomorrow. Okay, do you want to get over to the markets? That would be a question to you, Dwayne.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the S&P. Let's take a quick look at where we are. Maybe it's a good idea to review the S&P a little bit on a larger time frame. We can go back. We don't have to go way back, but we can go back to the weekly top that was put in back on the week of October 24th. that was a one-week late top in our work. The market sold off, and it had a pretty good decline leading into November 21st, and then the market reversed powerfully off of that and had initially put in a daily top in our work, and then the market continued to work its way higher over the next 4 days, but really was not closing much above some of the earlier levels, but they kept testing and testing until finally on December 8th we made a new high at this is the March contract now, 1266, and then sold off pretty well off of that top. We had originally been talking about the market making an initial down move from in the original forecast, and this doesn't really count because this is past that, but we're looking for an initial move of like 36 points or something off of the top, at which they ended up making at 66. So that would have brought us down to about 30, and the lowest close we had was 30, which was 1230 yesterday. And the market did go lower on the overnight, and then now today we have a very nice rally underway here, bringing us to higher prices. Under normal conditions, the current hour that we're in right now would mark a top in today's session. We've seen a lot of unusual, or a moderate amount, let's put it that way, a moderate amount of unusual behavior from the markets recently, inversions and other types of things. But intraday, the market has actually been very good. Longer term on the daily chart, it has shown some unusual behavior, but it has shown very good normal activity on the intraday charts. So with that in mind, we shorted the market up at 48.50 just a little while back, and we're now holding for our aggressive exit. We had a few points out of it. It's been very quiet while we've been on the radio here, and we'll see if we can get a under normal conditions. Let me say this: with regard to this decline, under normal conditions, we would see the market at least attempt to get down to 42 from a top of the type that we're talking about here. So we'll see if that occurs. That's barring any new high that we make in today's session. The high today has been 49.50. So we'll see how they handle this. It's been real quiet. They've gotten very quiet here, which is not unusual after a powerful advance. And I'm assuming this advance has something to do with the news that we got from Europe. The euro and the S&P have run somewhat together recently. You can't expect that to always be that way, but they have. And so we'll see. Let's let the market move around here a little bit. We do have, today is Friday, so today's last hour is an important cycle, and unfortunately that leads us right into a weekend and all that. So we're going to want to wait until Monday to really take advantage of that if we can, because that would be the beginning of a potential roadmap if we do get up there, if we do get a setup for a roadmap. That would take us into Monday, but we have the weekend, and I'm not currently holding overnight positions in the market for declines or advances. I'm just waiting for the day session to take, to do whatever we can do with the market during the day. There may be a point in the near future when the daily chart gives us a really obvious and clean signal, and the markets will give you that. No matter what you know in the market, it'll get around to showing you at some point what you know. And the more you know, the more it'll get around to showing you that, and you can get in there and take a good advantage of some of these very easy, clean setups. The bad thing is if you happen to be in a position and losing money time after time, right when they get around to showing you what you do understand. And at that point, you won't be really in the mood to trade it. And so that's why it's good to be careful and to wait for the sweet spot of what it is you understand to get shown to you. And in most cases, you're going to find that works out much better than trying to trade everything or taking shots and all that. I'm a real fan of that type of trading. It's made a dramatic difference not only in my results, but also just in my whole demeanor towards the market, how I feel about it, how I feel about myself in relation to it, etc. So anyway, so with regard to that, the last hour that we completed did make the top so far, the 1249.50 top. We're in the current hour. We're in a pretty good uptrend here. We have not broken anything or done anything that would break this uptrend, but this would normally be, again, topping action where we would have a multi-hour decline off of this. So let's see how they handle that, and we'll talk about this a little bit later after we get over to the euro here. Dwayne, do you have anything you want to add to the S&P or...
You know, David, not particularly, other than, they
okay.
rallied really strong off the European Open.
Yes, they did.
They pulled, we rallied for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And a little 2-hour pullback there, and now 4. And this 49.50 weekly zone of ours is serving as pretty good resistance.
Oh, definitely.
And then we've
so
got
far.
This support area here that you just spoke about. That's weekly zone, and it's also where this little trend line that I drew in would come in if the market comes back this way. So Friday afternoon, headed into the weekend. I'm not holding anything into the weekend.
Yeah, no. I don't think that's a good idea to hold anything on the overnight. Let's take a quick look at the euro, because this is a real important part of the the markets that are moving, and this market has quietly tested some of the levels that we talked about, one of which was about 133.10 or so that we've talked about as an important level for this market to continue to close above. As long as we continue to close above 133.10 or maybe a tiny bit lower, and they did go down and test it yesterday and today, as long as we do, then 133, anywhere from 133.20 to 133.10 is an important level for us that they should close above if the forecast for the larger forecast for the euro, which includes the market going up into 136.70 into next week, is going to occur. So the forecast is for the market to firm up at these levels and to move higher into the 136.70 level or higher into next week.
Hey, David, now, can I ask a question? Have you rolled your chart forward yet? Are you still
on December? We have not, and that's a great point because I meant to do that. I'm really referring right now to, well, let me just double check this because I'm looking at a December chart, but the chart that we're that I'm really concerned about is really a weekly chart, more or less, or a three-day chart. So the 136.70 is still valid. It's because it's contained in the ongoing continuous chart of the weekly. So the numbers you were talking about, I know you're talking about the low that they made today. That's, you guys are in March now, correct?
Yeah, we went ahead and rolled forward today. Except on the euro, like on the ES, volume exceeded on the new contract. But on the euro, the majority, Bert suggested we go ahead and roll forward, but the majority of the volume is still in the December contract on the euro.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So we're pressing higher here on the S&P, but let me go take a quick look with you on the euro. Let's just take a quick peek at that in the March contract. Just take a look at where, and I'll give you the numbers. The numbers that would be important would be, well, it's 133.25 to 133.15 would be the same levels, but on the March contract, for this market to continue to close above. And really not a huge response off of the news. And next week, the week of December 12th, is really the on-time week for this advance. So we are, for aggressive people, they could, remember, this is aggressive. You could buy here and now. For others, based on the charts as we see them, I think for the March contract, you would want to wait for ordinary entries with a daily close above 135.40 or so. Maybe if you wanted to be a little aggressive up there, you could get in at 135, close above 135.10 or something. But that's the really where the trade starts. It only leaves about 140 pips or 160 pips on the table, but that's plenty. That is plenty, as long as, because you'll know that the odds are that the market is going to complete that target. So, again, we talk about this all the time. The probability of being right is higher, but the profit is lower. So I like that. I want to have the probabilities higher in my favor. As we've been talking, we've moved up, broken to new recent highs, and this market is continuing to attempt higher prices. Let's take a quick look. This is, of course, the S&P again. So far, this has been a trend day up, and the market would have to move up now to 1253, 1254 in order for us to change our outlook on this, but we are making a new high in this hour that we talked about. So far that confirms the idea that we would have a high in this hour. But careful with this because this is a very news driven, but we will trade off this again. We were able to get some profit out of that on the short side for our ordinary exits, our ordinary exit here, which was actually a 3-point gain. We've actually had a number of trades today. We had a 3-point gain selling short at 1248.50. We had a break even earlier, another second break even, and then a trade for 275 where we sold short at 1239.50 right after the open this morning at 835. So we've had a number of trades, but there's really quite a few more potential for today, especially if the case of the market closing or confirming this hourly top, there would be a nice short trade from these levels or slightly higher. So we'll wait and see. One other thing I do want to take a quick look at here is the gold markets. We've talked about this. I don't have anything new to put out on gold, but we've talked over the last several days that I kind of wanted to see gold get down to $16.99. They've made a couple of attempts at doing that. 1704, 1705 has been the low today. And if they do get down to that level, I would be interested potentially in being a buyer, but I would want to see into Monday how they handle that level. Because we're very close to a cycle here for gold to reverse. It's nothing huge, but it is something that is big enough to trade off of if price confirms by touching the natural level, which is $16.99.
Now, so, which contract, Bert, which contract should we be on for gold?
February.
So that's what I'm already on, right? GG,
yeah.
CG2? Okay.
Yeah, if you're showing gold trading at roughly 17.17.
Yep, that's what I got.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I'd like to see them go down there. Yeah, it would be nice to see that. I would prefer that before I would take a position in that. And then also, just for people who are watching, this is another interesting setup, which is in silver. And silver also has some levels of importance that they tested, and this is, of course, March silver for 2012. We wanted to see silver stay above $31.71, or $31.70, and close above it. And yesterday they closed at $31.71, so they were a penny above it. They did spike below it, but today they're advancing. As long as silver remains above, on a daily closing basis, above $31.70, this is a market that we would be interested in buying. So we don't have an outright buy signal at a specific price, except to say that you would want to be a buyer at or near those levels if you could. And this would be multi-days or multi-week, because this is not a roadmap. This is just basically an indication for a price-based entry in a market that has tested a very important level. The market tends to test important levels. In fact, many years ago I gave away a diagram, or not gave away, but illustrated a diagram of how the market works. And here's how the market works. Imagine driving up to a large home or a big mansion, and you get out of your car and you go through the first door, the opening, you know, you open up the door of the place and you walk into, and there's a room there. And ahead of you is another door. So you walk across the room, and you try to open that door, but you realize that it's locked. Well, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to go back and check that the door you just came in, whether it's locked or not. And if you go back and that door is locked, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go back to the other door and retest it, the second door. If that door is open, you're going to go through there, and there's going to be a further door at
some
distance.
This sounds like a Mario Brothers game.
It is a Mario Brothers game to people who didn't quite graduate from elementary school. Just for anybody who wants to think in those terms. No, it is. It's like a Mario Brothers game.
That is very mean.
But that's how simple the market really works. And it's going to go ahead, and it's going to test the third door that it sees. If that door is locked, it's going to come back and check the second door. And that's what the market is doing with these support and resistance levels. It's testing to see if it can get through. If it can't, it goes back and checks the previous door. If that door is open, it goes into the following, into the previous room, and goes ahead and checks the next door. And that's a very easy and Mario Brother-like description of a very complicated thing, which is the markets. But that's essentially what the markets are doing. So keep that in mind, because that may give you some insight in your own trading, perhaps, or be helpful in some way in understanding what the market does and why it's doing what it's doing, and why you can see why there would be certain natural levels involved and that sort of thing by following that illustration. It's very general, but it's, I think, a very good illustration of how markets work. So that's basically it, Dwayne. We have gold and silver. Gold, we wanted to see $16.99, but haven't yet. Silver has tested its important price, so that makes it buying territory. These are big boys markets. That means you have to be very careful trading on the overnight and have stops placed, etc. But there's plenty to There's plenty of interesting stuff you can do there with these markets. Even though they're not apps outright forecasts, this market is simply testing a level, and if that critical level, the door is not open, it tends to want to move away from there and wants to trade higher. And so that's what we're watching for in those markets. So the S&P just completed the on-time hour now, just a few minutes ago, on the top that we're talking about. So we're at a critical juncture now in this market, and if they give a signal to go short here, then we will take another short position for a potential decline from these levels. If they continue higher, I would expect to see them do the 53-54 level, and that would take us into a different dimension there, but not a different dimension, but a different set of levels for the market. So, Duane, I think that's basically what we have. It was great having Leslie on today. I mean, I forgot about how detailed she was and how much information she really has.
She has so much knowledge and is so well versed in.
She really is.
A multitude of things, and it's just that over time, as we have new partners and as you have people mm-hmm. that become associated with them, the busier they get, which is a good thing, but it also mm-hmm. means the less time that either one of them have to actually come on the radio program like they used to. Bert still makes time to come into the trading room every morning because no broker in the world hangs out mm-hmm. with his clients and actually trades in the morning. So
right.
he does that. He's the one-of-a-kind guy, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
We appreciate them both very much. Mm-hmm. All that we've done in the past year, I can say would not have been possible without them and without their support and the support of Daniel's Trading, and we appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm. That's been very good. I've said this before about brokers, and I'll say it again, that if you are trading the market, it's a good idea to have a broker, somebody like a Bert that you can play ideas with. There's a lot of insight that he has. He's been in the business over 20 years. He and his wife both worked over at Lynn Waldock many, many years ago when I was, and I still was trading there, just up until recently, up until that little MF Global thing happened. Fortunately, we only had a small amount of money there, but we haven't gotten the phone call yet telling us that we've won 60% of our original deposit back, but we're waiting for that call. Anyway, Bert's been around the block. He's seen a lot, and he has a lot of uncommon sense that comes from watching markets and watching lots of people trade them from his perspective, not from the perspective of being a trader, but from being the perspective of watching traders. So you can learn a lot from watching other traders. There's no doubt about it. So, and Duane, I think that's wonderful that the iPad was given away. I'm just delighted to see that happen to Octavio. He's got to be happy about that. Doesn't get a phone call like that every day now, does he?
No, he does not. But you know what, David? Here in a few months, somebody else is going to get a phone call.
That phone call going to be? Is it going to be to bail you out of jail for something illegal?
For throttling the cable guy? Yeah, right.
Throttling the cable guy. Yeah, that would be a good one to start with.
Anyway, we've not ironed out all the details, but this is very similar to something I did in the past when we first launched CFRN. I told you that we had given away a Vespa. We also gave away other valuable prizes, and we've not worked out complete details, how long the contest is going to run, what you got to do to enter, but I did promise in an email last night that I would give a little teaser on today's show. And so between garbles, allow me to tease, we're going to give away a scholarship to become a CFRN partner. It will be called the CFRN Partnership Scholarship. Wow, I love the way that sounds.
Wow.
Now, some people go, well, gosh, that's great, but I don't have money to trade with. That's why you're going to be able to open an account at Daniel's Trading with the minimum amount of funding required to open an account. And if I must say so myself, that is one really fine prize.
So let me understand what the prize is again. Explain one more time. They get a trading account.
A CFRN partnership scholarship. Okay, got that part?
Yeah.
All right.
I got that part.
And it costs $2,000 to open an account with Daniel's Trading.
Right.
So we're going to put somebody through school and fund their account. We haven't established a time limit. We haven't written the rules, the regulations. As you know, the iPad giveaway, that was very strict. Free trial, 5 days in the live trading room. But we're talking about something that has substantially more value, so there's probably going to be more hoops to jump through. No purchase required. You won't have to mail in the box tops from your favorite cereal. We may not launch this until we're well into the new year, but just so you know, it's coming. Now, some of you might say, well, I better hold off on becoming a partner because maybe I'll win it. You don't want to wait that long, okay? It's going to be a contest that runs for a long period of time, and it's going to be mapped out in such a way that if you become a partner during the time that we're running this, it's going to additionally benefit you. So it's a little complicated, but I got to get all the legalese down, like I did on the previous one. Dot the I's, cross the T's, all of that good stuff. But it's something to look forward to and something we'll have fun with, and I'm excited. I'm in the Christmas mood.
No, that's... You are in a Christmas mood.
I am. Giving it away.
I'll tell you what. Well, that's great. Well, I just congratulations to Octavio for the winning, and I'd like to wish everybody to have a wonderful weekend here. We're getting closer to Christmas, and it's time to go out and get your gifts and get all that handled for people, if Christmas is your thing, of course. Doesn't have to be. Next Tuesday, we have a webinar coming up for Messenger Pro. We have some new features that we're coming out with on Messenger Pro, and how to trade support and resistance, the levels that we have in our panel, which is one of the more popular things that we offer at PageTrader.com. So if you want to, you can sign up for that webinar by coming to PageTrader.com, clicking on the Traders blog, and that will bring you to a page where you can just click on the link and sign up for it. And that will be at 1:30 Pacific time, 3:30 Chicago time, 4:30 Eastern time. If you'd like to be there, and I'll be giving that webinar. We have some improvements that we want to make. Thank you, Dwayne. We have some improvements we want to make and are making to our Messenger product to increase a couple of things. One of the things we want to do is we want to be able to, when necessary, trade with a larger profit target. You don't have to stay for the whole move, but that'll mean that we have somewhat larger risk because risk and reward runs together. So this is next week. The date that we're talking about for the webinar is Tuesday, which is the 13th of December. So we should see. There it is.
Here you go.
Yeah, there we are. And so that'll give you a chance to see some of the new stuff that we're talking about in Messenger Pro. We've been trading much more actively in Messenger Pro as of probably the last 2 months or so. We're making a concerted effort to take more of the signals. People want to trade more often during the day, but we don't want to just do it for the purpose of just trading frivolously. We want to have quality signals. So we've put some efforts into coming up with more active trading. For those of you who are on Messenger Pro, you can see that there's much more active trading than there used to be. We've had a couple of different weeks recently where we had quite a number of trades each day, and quite a number of trades for the total week. So you can add them up for yourself and see the points that are there. The markets are there, the volatility is there, and for the most part, in spite of some of the unusual behavior that may be happening on a particular time frame, other time frames are very valid, and so we're able to utilize those. And we're trying to stay with those types of time frames, the time frames where we're not seeing unusual behavior. If we see it on there, we switch over to another time frame. So much more active behavior. So if you have a few minutes on Tuesday for about 45 minutes to an hour, it'll be myself and Bert Schlichter from Daniel's Trading, which, again, I am just going to come out and say it because I normally am so, I don't want to force people or make it sound like we're being pushy. But I can't think of a better place to have a trading account, and we have none, nor does Dwayne have any financial connection with them. We're only saying that because you would get the benefit of having Bert and Leslie working with you. You can see that Leslie has a wide-ranging knowledge. If you happen to be into news and ask a question like I did, she's there. She's a news hound, and she really thinks multi-level. She has a she's in depth. She's not just taking the cover story. She's thinking about it. She can be very helpful if you're news-based. Bert is a technical trader. He has his own set of skills. He's very familiar with our work. He's very familiar with Dwayne's work. And he knows how to operate in both those realms. That could be very useful. He's one heck of a nice guy and very knowledgeable in the business and in trading. So he's been around the block. You could do a lot worse with a broker, and I think it's wise to have a broker. The people, when I was at Lynn Waldock, because now that's kind of gone, I didn't have a broker per se, but I did know the people on the floor. That's where I would pick up the phone and call the floor. Well, those people and I would talk, and I would get information from them. So, you know, there still is that thing going on where it's good to have somebody to talk to. So if you're thinking about opening an account, I would suggest to you that you give Bert and Leslie the first shot at your account. If you're already at a broker and moderately happy, why be moderately happy? Why not just be happy? Go get a decent broker.
I'm
go
telling
use Bert.
You, man.
Seriously.
It's everything that you probably felt like you should have had in the beginning and never did. Man, they're just there. They answer the phone. They don't pass you off to somebody else. By the third ring, they usually answer the phone. They're very knowledgeable, not only about the platform and the execution of orders, but they've been trading for years. And they actually come, Bert comes in the live trading room with us to hang out in the morning with his clients, people who are trading real money and trying to get a handle on this whole thing. He's just there, and Leslie's there, and you just heard, for some of you who may have never heard her on the radio before or had a chance to speak with her by phone, what a wealth of knowledge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people go, well, yeah, she sounds pretty smart, but can she trade? Yes, she can
trade. Yeah, she can. She knows trading very well. I've spoken to her on a number of occasions. She's very educated in trading, technical chart patterns, etc. So it's the real deal. I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't think so. So consider that seriously. If you are at a brokerage where you're moderately happy or not so happy, or you don't even have a broker, you'd be much better off having a platform through Daniels and having a broker that knows what the heck's going on. And if you're trading in with the CFRN side, or you're trading with Reflected Wave and us and Messenger Pro, they know about us. They work with us. They're really intimate with all of our systems. It can be very, very helpful. So do consider that. I won't hammer it too much, but that's something I feel strongly about, and I still, to this day, even though right now Lynd is gone because MF Global blew up, I still had my own broker on the floor in a sense, because I would ask questions about volume and about what people are doing and stuff like that, and it still helps. It's just nice to have somebody to talk to rather than just trading, and it's more than nice because you have some skilled people that have been around the block and have really just have been seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. You know, it 5 years doesn't season you in this. You know, 20 years seasons you in this.
Have I ever told you the story about the old butcher?
No.
This seems like a very appropriate time to tell the... Because I remember I brought it up the other day on the blog, and I said I'll get back to this. Okay. There's a market in Queens. And the new guy comes to work. He's an apprentice butcher. He wants to learn how to be a butcher. And the old butcher works in the back, and the new guy, he's up front running the counter, working with people. Lady comes in, how are you, blah blah, New York accent, whole thing. She says, I need 2.5 pounds of pastrami. So the brand new kid goes back to the old butcher and says, I need 2.5 pounds of pastrami. The old butcher goes, okay. But he says it in like this really heavy Slavic kind of an accent that I can't do, so I'm not even going to try. He goes, okay. And he goes, zzz, zzz, on the machine, and he says, here you go. And the young kid goes, no, the lady wants 2.5 pounds of pastrami. And the guy in the heavy Slavic accent says, this is 2.5 pounds of pastrami. And the new guy goes, but you didn't even weigh it. And the guy goes, you wanted 2.5 pounds of pastrami. Here's 2.5 pounds of pastrami. So the new guy goes, oh, man, you're making me crazy. The young guy throws it up on the scale. Ding! Exactly 2.5 pounds. So he wraps it up, thanks the lady, takes her money, puts it in the register, walks into the back to the old butcher and goes, how did you do that? And the old butcher, in the heavy Slavic accent, said, I just did. And the young guy goes, no, come on, teach me the trick. Teach me the trick. I want to know how you did that. And the old butcher says, there is no trick. I just did it. See, the trick is, he's been a butcher for 40 years. That is the trick. There's no shortcut, no smoke and mirrors, nothing up your chimney. There's nothing that can replace being a butcher for 40 years. You can't buy it. You can't rent it. You can't take a weekend anything to find out about it. You know what I'm saying? The only way you can be an old butcher is to be a butcher for 40 years.
And then you would be an old butcher.
And then you'd be an old butcher. So.
Well, there you are. That's a good story. Well, Dwayne and Michael and Bert and Leslie, I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful weekend this weekend, and we've got really interesting markets coming up next week. There's been plenty of trading. There's going to be plenty of trading right up until Christmas. So maybe we can trade enough to pay for Christmas. Depends on how many gifts you give. But, you know, it's funny because just like today, giving away that iPad, it's a very nice feeling. I mean, you know, I'm not directly connected with the iPad myself, but just calling him up and telling him was a wonderful feeling. And it felt good for Dwayne, I'm sure, in the same way, to give it away. And it's very pleasant. And that's the gift of giving. You know, the gift of giving is in the giving. And so, you know, you may be a Scrooge of a person, maybe don't want to buy any gifts or something. But think of somebody that means something to you. Go get a nice little something for them, a gift, and just give it to them anyway, just for the fun of it.
And I wanted you to be on the show when we gave it away so that you could be a part of it. And Bert and Leslie,
yeah.
See, because we're like family here.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, it came from all of us. From your radio family here at CFRN, which is everybody on this radio program, including Mike Reed, who's not here today. He's the only one who wasn't here today. You know, happy holidays to all of you. And, man, the gift of giving is the gift that just...
Keeps on giving.
It does. All right.
All right, Dwayne.
So
well, I'll
done?
See you guys. Have
you're
a great weekend. I'm sorry?
Let me ask you one last thing. I got something here on my screen talking to me. It said, I know that we're up against big news. The euro could crumble over the weekend. But I got something that says we could see significantly higher prices. Could you comment on that?
You have something that says that.
Well, it's just I got a feeling.
Oh, well, I'm not. We don't have a forecast directly except for the longer term, which our longer term outlook is for continued higher prices in the markets, given, you know, with the usual pullbacks and things of that nature, but that the trend will continue to be up and into next year. Why? Tell me what you've got going.
No, it's nothing in particular. It's kind of the old butcher thing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of where we are, and it's so general that it might fall into that category for me that we are looking for higher prices. Are you're talking short term here today, like this is a trend day up?
No. I'm talking about over the next week, maybe into Christmas.
Oh, I see. Longer term, I'm not sure about that immediately, but I do like what I've seen today. There's no doubt. And how they handle, for me, how they handle this decline off the hourly, if they even do it, will be important as well. But, yeah, no, it's longer term we're looking for higher prices into next year. One of the reasons is because they didn't turn at a very important level. When the second quarter top came in, that level isn't the kind of level, let's just put it that way, that the market would have an outright crash from, if that makes any sense. I mean, it could happen, but it really is a kind of level that for us would be subsequently exceeded. So we'll see. We'll wait until next week, and we'll talk about it more. But, you know, really just going over that thing about the butcher story, which is true, you must be experienced in something yourself that you know what Dwayne was talking about there, where you have the experience, you've got time in it, and you can't even explain it to people, nor do you necessarily even want to, but you just know how it is. And that's how it goes with, you know, being a good broker and doing it well, because you can do anything well in life. You can also do anything poorly in life. There are really, really excellent, wonderful, as an example, janitors. And there's really, really bad people from at higher levels of, you know, work that can't do their job correctly. You can do anything really well. And that's what I suggest you start doing with your whole life, is do everything well. Stop doing anything halfway. If you're going to do it right. And, you know, be excellent in whatever you're doing. If that's just talking to somebody and relaxing, or doing a job, or keeping your house clean, or paying your bills on time, or whatever it is, do it well. And with that, Dwayne, I'll see you all on Monday. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I was glad to be a part of the giveaway.
Thanks for being a part of it. Thanks for being a part of the show every day. We really appreciate it. I know that sometimes your political commentary gets some people sideways. I got a pretty heated email about that today. But, you know, that's one of the things that makes America America, is that we do have the freedom to express our opinion without being thrown in the gulag. And we don't come on the show to intentionally aggravate people the way that some radio talk show hosts do, but we do have a wide variety of opinions, and so I'm not going to censor you based on an email for someone whose feelings were hurt. Please accept my humble apology, because it's not the intent to hurt anyone's feelings. It is to talk very clearly about what is going on in this country, and so we do mix that in with the market talk, and sometimes spiritual talk, and sometimes the what part of the mountain are you on talk, and it's kind of what you get when you come hang out here. So hopefully
I know
this is
going to sound bad. This is going to sound bad, and I don't mean it to be towards that particular person, but if somebody has a different opinion than you do and they're expressing it sincerely, don't make yourself into a victim from having heard that opinion. Understand that that's merely an opinion from somebody else, and that it doesn't have to make you, perhaps it upsets you because you don't agree with it, but you know, don't cross the line into being hurt to the point where you feel like you're a victim of this radio program or something like that. This is, you know, we have opinions, and so do you, and we express them on the radio program if something is, if some subject matter is brought up, or if we're bringing it up ourselves. That's part of what this is. So it's not intended, like Dwayne says. Nobody is intentionally trying to rub somebody the wrong way here. But also, don't take it so badly that it causes you to feel like you're being victimized by the radio program. You don't have the need nor the right to be a victim of any of this. You know, this is not intended to be hurtful or something that causes you to be angry at us. You might not like the opinion. And that's certainly how things go. I mean, anybody can have an opinion. You could have an opinion yourself that
and you know
causes
what they,
other people grief.
We invite the other opinion. Anyone that wants to come on and chat, we've said this many times, we would love to give you an open mic and hear what you think, what your thoughts are.
Yeah, and not to be in an argument.
No,
just to give you a fair presentation of your side as well.
Absolutely. And also, Alan and Lucy just typed in, we love the vitriol he spews every day.
Oh, there you are. Oh, my goodness. Well, with that, again, I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful weekend, in spite of my opinions. And we'll talk on Monday, Dwayne. Thanks
for
having me.
They were being serious. They really do love your commentary.
Thank you very much.
I edited the vitriol part, but it sounded really good.
Okay.
All right. So, okay. Bye.
Thanks, Dwayne. I'll see you then. All of you. See you on Monday. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that is my cue to get up and get out of here. go call Cable Guy. All right. Congratulations to Octavio for winning the iPad 2. For anyone that didn't get to see the video, you tuned in late, by golly, it will be on the website tonight. Go to the blog, and then I'll find a permanent place to post it somewhere, because the fact that I have a guy in Pismo Beach that would go and do that, that's, I don't know, it's pretty cool, I think, so I'm going to hang on to that video. And let's see, what else? We've got our thinking caps on. There may be a tweet or something on the horizon, so keep your eye out. Make sure you're following us, twitter.com/CFRN. Just go there and click follow. Or if you're already on Twitter, then just follow @CFRN, okay? Other than that, we do have a little double top here on the 2100. But I think we could get a surprise to the upside. So, like I say, if we do anything, we'll send out the word, okay? It is the weekend. I hope you'll spend quality time with your family. That's really important, you know. On my deathbed, I'm never going to say, I don't think anyone's ever going to say, I wish I had spent more time at the office. I think we're all going to go, man, I could have, you know, whatever our regrets, or hopefully we have no regrets, but being human, we probably will. So I know that I spend way too much time in my office in front of the screens, and I'm really trying to figure a way to not do that, which I guess entails hiring someone to do part of it. So I've been threatening to do that for some time. But you think about your own situation, you know. I know that some of you are retired. Some of you are able to spend an enormous amount of time with your spouse. Some of you maybe think it's a little too much. Well, I don't know. Go join a shuffleboard team or something. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Family is so important, okay? It really is. These charts, these markets, hey, it's a living, okay? But it's not a living being. So go love somebody. Make that phone call, send that email, walk across the street, drive across town. You know, that thing that's been niggling at you in the back of your mind that you really need to do. Yeah, why don't you just say, you know what, this weekend, I'm going to do it. Because when you do it, you're going to feel really good about it while you're doing it and after you've done it. All right? So, all right, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.